If you have noticed the last couple of weeks, interesting things have happened. People are terribly afraid. They're stocking up. They're hoarding. Why are they? Because they strictly have no faith in God. Many of them are so scared. It's just, you can't explain it. And many of those people go to church every Sunday. Many claim to know Jesus. Jesus, the Bible teaches, perfect love casts out fear. If you would have Jesus, you wouldn't be so incredibly paranoid about what's going on. Because the Bible definitely teaches that these things will come. And these things are going to escalate. We have to understand that. And for those of you who are listening or keeping your eyes on the news, God is doing not only this work, but he's also doing another work that not too many people know about or understand. And within a couple of months, many, many people will know and they'll just shake their heads. What's going on? How could that happen under our nose? Because everybody was too busy making money, doing sports, minding their own business, going to work and not paying attention. But it's going to come out in the open and we're going to see it. I'm not going to share too much on that. Because I don't know how it's really going to work, but I've known it for quite some time. But what I want to do is get people who are listening through the internet. I want you to understand this ministry is to set you free. That's the purpose. There's many religious people listening. And what I try to do is by the word of God, change your mind a little bit. Direct your mind a little bit. Not to brainwash you, but to change your attitudes and your minds so that you will be able to think for yourself. And the best way to think for yourself is to start studying the Word of God. That'll open your mind and your heart. Each and everyone has a cell phone. You don't need to carry a Bible anymore. That's no excuse anymore. You carry your cell phone wherever you go. If you lose your cell phone, it seems like it's the end of the world. And on that cell phone, you don't only have one Bible, not only the King James. You also have all these other versions. So you can really check out what these verses mean. So there's not going to be any excuse whatsoever. So God is talking to us. We're seeing just a little bit of what's going to happen. They have locked us out of our sanctuary where we used to go to church. Now we have to do in-house churches. I don't know how long that's going to be, but that's nothing new to us. We had to do it in the beginning in a very secretive place. So regardless how bad it gets, we'll still get together because the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Apostle Paul, tells us to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see the day approaching. And today is approaching. Jesus is coming back. The question is, with all those churchgoers, many, many millions in the world, do they know their God? I have to say a lot of them don't. A lot of them don't. They go there because that's the thing to do. So today I'm going to go into a message to try and get you to seek for yourself, open scriptures up to you, so that you can zero in on a relationship with God for yourself. If you can get the other stuff out of the way and focus in. Because one of these days the rapture is going to happen. And nobody will think of hockey. Nobody will think of any of those sports. Nobody will think of his payments he has to make, or of his vehicle he has to fix, or whatever there is out there that has my attention. They will think of one thing. Am I ready to meet this God? So before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I pray, come and pray before you in Jesus' name. Lord, this virus has everybody scared, but it will not come near our dwellings because we are under your protection. So you'll help us to use wisdom, help us to understand the situation, and help us to walk before you so that people will understand that we know who we are. I thank you for your grace. I thank you that we can gather here in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, it tells us, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." And when you look at religious systems today, they have many ways to do the will of the Father. But before you can do the will of the Father, you have to belong to the Father. You cannot go and work for somebody unless he hires you, right? Ever try working for somebody and then wait for a paycheck without making the necessary negotiations on how to get paid? Not too many people are that stupid. But for some reason, they're totally out of order, they don't seem to understand that before you can get payment from the God of the universe, you have to have that contract with him. You have to become one with him. You have to be part of his creation and part of his saving grace. You just don't start religious organizations like so many of our forefathers did, hoping they're doing the right thing, neglecting to check whether they really belong to God. So it says, many will say, "Lord, Lord, are we not yours? Don't we belong to you?" And the Lord will say to them, "I don't know who you are." Many religious people will go and hear that very same scripture that I'm reading here. It's not going to be out of any other book. It's going to come out of the Word of God. So you got the instructions right at your fingertips. But how do we do this? How do we get to know this God? How do we get into his better graces? For we are all lost. We all have been separated from God through Adam and Eve, and we don't have one bit of claim to have heaven, because we're all dead in trespasses and sin. We're all an unclean thing. And we have to be made right with God. It tells us in John chapter 6 in verse 28. "And they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." Now if you go on YouTube, you're going to hear many arguments over that. What does Jesus mean? What did Jesus mean? And then you'll hear the argument. Well, we listen to the Apostle Paul. The others will say, we listen to Jesus. On and on the arguments go. Well, Jesus and Paul spoke the exact same things. There's no difference. But even though some will say there is a difference. So, what are the works of God? This is the simplest scripture in scripture, if you dare to believe it. John 3, chapter 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's your first hint in Scripture. The Apostle Paul, they asked him, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The thief on the cross, think of me when you get into your kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Is that a religious organization? Is that some far out thing that we have to somehow figure out? No, it is simple. Believe in what Jesus did for you on the cross. Accept it and become part of his kingdom. Believing in Jesus is not, that's not just it. Everybody believes in him. You have to accept his sacrifice. And the and I want to warn everybody here that's listening. Jesus didn't just cover sin. He took away sin. And if you are still practicing sin, there may be a chance that the sin is still in you. It hasn't been removed. See, God eliminated sin from your life. You may fall into sin, but if you're still living in your daily sinful life, maybe you have not heard from God yet. Maybe you're not born again. I'm not saying this to be a spoil sport. I'm saying this so that you can be ready when the alarm bell will sound. And it seems like it's going to sound soon. So get to know this God. Don't just pretend you have him. Don't just think that maybe you're all right because, oh, the preacher said, just believe in Jesus. No. Those that believe in Jesus, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. Very interesting. You have the power. It's in your ballpark. You can become a child of God by turning to him for salvation. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, that's all of us, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word. I was given this simple message to explain it to you. Never mind, I listen to what Jesus says. If you would listen to what Jesus says, you would never get into the kingdom of God. Because Jesus preached the law all the way through. He gave the message of salvation to the Apostle Paul so that he can explain it to us. It says, it was given me to you word, to you word, that's from me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So you got a choice. There's a mystery there. What is it? It's the saving grace of Jesus Christ to take away your sin, which he did on the cross for us. It's very easy to understand once God opens your eyes. But if you're going to argue against this, you'll never see it. You'll never come to the light because this is the living word of God. It was written, it was inspired by God to be written by Paul. And if you're going to argue against that, then you got a problem. So, listen to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The best, one of the best scriptures found in the Word of God. It is a gift. You are saved by faith in the grace of God. You are God's chosen now if you turn to that. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. See, this is why it's so easy to be a Christian. There's nothing to boast about. There's nothing to brag about. It kind of leaves you out there where you are relaxed. I have nothing to prove, and I don't need to prove nothing. This is why we cannot point at that guy or at that guy and say, you're not a Christian, you're a Christian, you're a Christian. Oh, that guy over is a good Christian. Well, how do you know? Well, he gave me $10,000 the other day. Does that make him a Christian? No, it does not. It makes him a pretty good giver. That's all it does. But let me tell you, it'd be nice to meet him. So, God wants us to understand it doesn't matter how good or how bad we are. This is not where it's at. It's what Jesus did for us. By grace are you saved through your faith in what he did for you. It is not of yourself. It is a gift that you receive. Not that you work for. You receive, you accept it. And then when you, have you ever boasted about a gift you got? Oh yeah, just to make somebody jealous maybe. But you never boasted on what you did to receive a gift, because the gift was given. So God wants us to see that. He gave it to us for free. And then in Ephesians, once we receive that gift, listen to this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We are then his workmanship. The minute we become born again by the Spirit of God, we are his workmanship. Now all of a sudden things change in us. This is why it says, by their fruit you shall know them. If there's no fruit in a person, there's a good chance the person doesn't know Christ. In some, it might take a while for the fruit to come, but so that's why we don't judge people. But it says we are then his workmanship. And here's what a lot of people miss. The work that we do need to be connected to him. If we got our own little thing going, then it's not us. It's not in him. We are his workmanship. We now do what he has ordained us to do. And that can be sometimes pretty interesting. When you look at the religious systems all around you, you can see how deceived they are. Why are they deceived? Because they don't study the Word of God. Their eyes aren't open. It's not that they're bad people. It's just that they're deceived. And to be deceived doesn't necessarily mean that you're evil. You're just deceived. You don't know better. But that's no excuse. The Word of God has been left us and given to us to come out of the kingdom of darkness. I was deceived till I was about 27 years old. I figured the religion I was in was the best in the world and the topmost religion, until I read scripture and God opened my eyes to what true Christianity was. It was being saved by grace through faith, not of myself. And then I looked at the whole situation of where I was brought up with. And guess what? There were 400 years and millions of dollars invested in what I was believing in. So you can see what I was looking at. And then I looked at Scripture and I decided Scripture is right. Not the 400 or the 500 years of what I was taught. Scripture was right because God is the one that wrote Scripture, and He was before any religion. He was before any religion. This was His plan to bring us into His kingdom even before the world was formed, even before I was born. This plan was written for me, and I went for it. I accepted it. And my life changed drastically since then. I may not be the best goody two-shoes on this earth, but I know one thing. I got Jesus. Amen. And guess where I'm going? I'm going to be with Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, Dad, that's what happens to you when you become born again. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new creature. Not something that was somehow, how would I say, it was rebuilt. You weren't rebuilt. You became something totally new. Your spirit was dead. Now it has become alive in Christ Jesus. Your body is still you, but that body doesn't go with you. It's going to go into your grave. And your spirit man is alive in Christ. Old things have passed away. Now all things have become new. Now here is where we need to understand. This is what happened to us when we became born again. We became something different. This is why you're irritated with yourself when you step over the line. This is why you're irritated when you hear somebody on the internet preaching deception. This is why you're irritated when you argue with your wife. Before you were born again, it was, hey, I got her this time. Now you're irritated. You don't feel good. Because you've been changed. Or is that only me here? We don't argue. Liar. But I tell you what. God made us something different. And if you notice in your life, when you do something you know you shouldn't, if it bothers you, you know you've been changed. That's the way it works. Before I became a Christian, I didn't try to escape stuff. I tried to get into stuff. I didn't try to get away from booze parties and all these things. I looked for them and I planned them. I was the one that got them going. But afterwards, a new creation in me said, no, Dave. You're not that anymore. You don't need it. And guess what? I didn't want it. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What does sealed mean? Everybody knows what sealed means. Once you're born again, you're sealed. No more escape. You belong to God. And this will put the icing on the cake here. Not quite this one, but the other one. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. He said, He has risen us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You may not know it, but you're already seated in heavenly places. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. The virus shouldn't even come near our home. That virus shouldn't even touch us as far as fear is concerned. Even if we do get the virus, it don't matter. If we die, we're home. It's a quick exit out of this place which Satan rules. So for people who are so scared and so paranoid about what they're seeing coming upon this world, it tells me something. There's something wrong with them. They need a relationship with Jesus. Corrie ten Boom came out of the worst Holocaust there ever was on this planet, and she had one thing to say: don't hold anything on so tight that God has to wrench it out of your hands, because he might have to. It says we were seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know you not that your body, listen to this closely here, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You are not your own. Interesting. For you are bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself. You may have the right on how to serve God, but you never have the right to leave him, because you don't belong to yourself. A slave could choose whether he could serve his master well, but he dare not leave him. He dare not run away. If he did, he got his foot chopped off. How many of you watch Roots? Happened. And then they marked you with a mark on your forehead. So you belong to God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, it says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to Jesus, and I don't mind that one little bit. Hallelujah. This is in closing out. I want to try. If you don't quite understand where you stand with God, I want to explain it so that you'll study it for yourself. Reach out to the one that saved you, because one day you'll be by yourself. You will not always have a preacher there to encourage you. You will not always have somebody there to help you. But there's one guy who will always be there, and that's Jesus. And if you have a relationship with him, regardless how far down you go, he will always be there to cover for you. And you can trust in him. Me, I'll fail you. Some other preacher, they'll fail you one way or another. But Jesus will never fail you. So you need to give your heart to him so that you can enjoy life instead of being afraid of it. Because what we're seeing is just a small taste of what this world is heading for. The Bible teaches us, as we get closer to the end, it'll become more and more frequent, those things, and more harsh. So get ready for this fight that we're going into. So let the Lord bless you and open your heart to this and make you a blessing. Amen.